Turn with me real quickly. I just want to give you a thought over in Luke chapter 5. Here we have when the first disciples are called, and I won't take the time. We'll just go down through here between verses 1 through 11. I just want to point out some things. It says, referring to the Lord, and came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. I want to just say, not only were there people that day wanted to hear the word of God, there are people today that still want to hear the word of God. Now, it might be hard for you to grasp that because you live here in America and you live in the Bible Belt and you hear the word of God all the time. It's on the radio, it's on the TV, you got people knocking on your door. Just all kinds of things referring to the Lord, to God, the Bible, all those things. We're in the Bible Belt. We're kind of almost in the buckle of the Bible Belt, I guess you'd say. But there are people who have not had that blessing. And it is a blessing to grow up in this country. There are people who have never heard a clear presentation of the biblical way of being saved. All they've got, they're religious. They're religious to a fault. But it's the same thing that's true in America. People think that if I'm going to live the best life I can possibly live, and one day when I stand before God, he'll say, well, your good outweighs your bad, so you can come on into heaven. Folks, that's a lie to hell. That's not going to happen. People need to hear the word of God. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and does a work of God. Amen. And you'll not get saved apart from the Word of God. Amen. So we see here that people wanted to hear what he had to say. And he said he went and he asked Simon that he could use his boat. And he asked him in verse 3 to thrust out a little. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now, then when he finished speaking, he called Simon and he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. God asked me to launch out into the deep. I didn't necessarily want to. I was a little bit afraid of going to Ghana, West Africa. Because it was taking me out of my comfort zone. And that's what happens when you launch out into the deep. There's a lot of Americans today, a lot of American Christians today, who have gotten comfortable. We get upset and start looking at our watch. If pastor goes beyond the time we think he should have finished, and he's the one who's got the notes, you don't have the notes. Amen? Oh, me? We're all guilty, right? Let's raise both hands. We get caught up in our flesh. And the Lord wants us to walk by faith, wants us to launch out into the deep. Notice what he says, and let down your nets for a draught. And notice Simon's answer here. Sounds good on the surface, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the... Notice what he said, the net. Jesus said, nets, plural. Peter said, net, singular. He said, what's so important about that? Well, read on. It says, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their what? Their net. What had happened? It brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. These men, when they saw such a multitude of fish, they couldn't handle it by themselves. They needed partners. I'm here tonight to tell you, I can't do this alone. I need partners. We need partners to do the work that God has called us to do. There are many people wanting to hear the Word of God. And they will sit for 2 hours or more while you preach. On a hard bench, not on a cushion bench. Sometimes it's on concrete. Sometimes it's just on dirt. But they're searching for something. They're thirsting for something. And God is the only one that will satisfy, as Pastor said this morning. He's the only one that can satisfy that thirst. So the Word of God must be proclaimed to these people. And the Lord is opening doors like never before. We had a Muslim woman who was over, she's a warden, she's over the prison. Come on in. She welcomed us into her prison. You see, a lot of Muslim people, especially in West Africa, they don't know what they believe. They don't know what a Muslim believes. They were born into that family, and they've been brainwashed. And here comes, you got to think about this, here comes a man from America, a white man, that they've never seen before in their life, and he's telling them that something that goes against everything they've been taught. Let me tell you, the power of God will reach into the recesses of a person's heart. And they know what they're hearing is truth, and it satisfies that longing that's in their heart. That's the reason we're seeing so many people saved in West Africa and some of the other foreign countries. They've never heard the gospel. You and I've heard it over and over and over again. Some of them have never heard it one time. Notice what happens here. Of course, they bring the fish in. And I'm going to close with this. I don't want to abuse my time that I've been allowed. In verse 8, when you're reading down through this passage, and all of a sudden you read verse 8, and it looks like it's out of context. It's out of place. When I studied it, I thought, why is this here? When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying that this is the unusual thing. He says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, why is catching a bunch of fish got Peter down on his knees confessing that he's a sinner? It seems like it's out of place to me. You know what I believe? Now, I could be wrong. But what I personally believe is that Peter recognized that he was standing in the presence of deity. Amen. He knows how to fish. He is a fisherman. This is what he does for a living. He's already been out there all night, and he told the Lord, he said, "Lord, we have toiled all night." That means we have worked hard. We've been fishing all night. We haven't caught not even one fish. "But at thy word, we'll go out there and we'll cast out the one net." You know why he didn't want to cast out many nets? Because he'd already been out there fishing all night, and it's hard work cleaning a net. I've seen guys do this. So he said, "We'll throw out the net." He didn't want to clean but one net again. Sometimes we think that we know better than God. What do you call this? I call it half obedience. Is there any such thing? No, it's either you obey or you don't. It doesn't matter if it's half. Peter didn't fully obey. What happened? They didn't take as many fish as they possibly could have taken if they'd have cast out all the nets like he said. And sometimes I wonder, as God uses us, as his nets? How many we could catch if we'd work together instead of working against one another? We forget that we're in the presence of deity. If you're a child of God tonight, you have God living in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Is he limited? Is his arm shortened? No. Just imagine if we would totally surrender and obey God and his word, what would God do? You got to remember, it's not you going to do it anyway. It's not you. It's him.
Right.
Through you.
Amen.
Over there in Matthew 15, when they fed the 5,000, I mean the 4,000, and they started complaining to the Lord about what we're going to do with all, how we're going to feed all these people. If you read chapter 14, they just got through feeding 5,000. That was just men, not counting the women and children. And this is 4,000. As a matter of fact, they got more fish now than they had then. What did he say? Turn with me there, and I'll close. Pastor, you can come. In Matthew 15, in verse 34, in answer to their question, they answer a question. When should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? How can we, one church in North Carolina, feed such a multitude that there is in the world? And he says unto them, how many loaves have you? It's kind of the same excuse Moses put up, isn't it, when God was calling him. Who's going to do it? You? No. God's going to do it. What do you have in your hand? What do you have? And I'm not just talking about money. That's what people, when a missionary comes, everybody gets dollar signs in their eyes. It's not your money anyway. Amen. It belongs to God. He said, what do you have in your hand? Maybe some of us may need to do some self-examination and see, what am I really doing? Now, I can speak to you older people because I are one. Sometimes when we get older and we get this ache and that ache and this pain and that pain, we say, well, I just can't do what I used to do. Neither can I. But that doesn't mean I'm going to quit. I'm old enough to retire, but I can't find that word in the Bible. I'm not picking on you people that are retired. I'm just saying, don't quit serving God. Don't retire from serving God. And I know many of you are faithful here or older. I see you. I see the gray hair. But what do you have in your hand? What are you able to do? Maybe you have a talent. Maybe you can sing. Maybe you can teach. Maybe you can mow the lawn. Maybe you can, whatever you can do. And you can give to missions. You can give missions. And let me, I've seen this. I've proven this. You can't outgive God.
Amen.
Every time I go over and beyond what I should go, when God impresses something upon my heart to help someone, and it's usually, I don't give, Pastor, I very seldom give outside of my local church. It's either ministry or it's my local church. And there was a special need. There was a special need. Well, yeah, I already called Brother George Meany's wife. He's poor. He needed $1,800 for his dear wife. I know his heart ached because his wife needed that surgery. I won't go into all the details, but it was bad. And I didn't have $1,800. If I had it, I would have given it all to him. But what I did send him was $700. And you know what? God turned right around and gave that back to me. Multiple times. You can't outgive God. The heartbeat of God is missions. We need to be reaching as many people as possible while we can. I think the day is coming soon. The Lord is coming. And all the signs that we're seeing today, a lot of people are mistakenly talking about the end times and the Lord's coming and all this stuff. And what they're doing is they're making reference to the second coming. I want to tell you the rapture happened 7 years prior to that. So don't get caught by surprise. Some of that money you're holding on to, you're just going to leave it for the government bunch. They're going to still be here. Bunch of liars. Pastor said it this morning, all liars. Not going to walk through the gates. Amen? Pastor, you come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for loving us and caring for us. Lord, give us a vision of what you can do through us. For your glory, we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.